So happy to have with us now from the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon. Doug, how you doing?
Doing fine.
How's the golf game?
Golf game is doing okay. Son got married, and life is beautiful.
I love it. Congratulations on that as well. Doug, let's talk first of all about just this time period of between now and the start of training camp, and what can happen with players. Just they're in this rookie symposium this week, and today a whole bunch of them out here working with kids earlier today in a Play 60 event. Very cool. The NFC rookies draft picks, and then you think about that period where there's no coaches around, nobody around to really tell you what to do. You get some advice on how to keep yourself in training and in fit, but over a 5-week period or so, it's amazing, or 4 weeks now, it's amazing how many things can happen, and not all of them are good.
No, not all of them are good, and I think it kind of gives you an indication of how motivated each individual is by from where they left off with the OTAs to where they come to training camp. And, you know, it's a different era of football, because in the old days, you never had off-season programs because everybody had an off-season job because that's the way the pay schedule was.
Right.
So, you used to go to training camp to get into shape. Today, you know, you go to the off-season program, you get yourself in shape, you build yourself up. And then when you have that 5-week lull, it's, you know, what do you do? Do you maintain or you try to build on it? And I think, you see the great players, they try to build on it. And, you always try to go to training camp so you know that you're in better shape than the guys that you're with.
Right.
And it shows up. And I think it reflects in your play because, if you're tired all the time from not being in shape,
right,
I think your mind gets tired and sometimes it's hard to concentrate.
No, that's such a good point. And from the standpoint of a lineman, I would imagine too, strength and conditioning are so critical. Do you see it as a case where those guys should be focused on a lot of that, a lot of the exercises, lifting and such, that are geared towards strength, or should now just be a time where you're kind of relaxing yourself a little bit and dealing more with overall aerobic conditioning?
Well, I think you have to look at each individual. If a guy, knows that he needs more strength to play at this level, then he's got to continue to try to build. I think the other guys just try to maintain. And the bottom line is, when you come in, you want to be in conditioning shape, where when you've got to run and you go through a practice, you don't have to take a break because, you're out of shape. And, I think most guys today, are professional in that way, and they do come to training camp in shape. I think last year was a great indication with no OTAs, no off season.
Right.
Surprisingly, I thought the guys came into shape in the camp very good shape.
Yeah, it was a pretty well-conditioned team a year ago, as you said, with everybody being out of sight for that long, out of sight of the Kent Johnston and the conditioning staff of the Browns. The other thing I wanted to talk about was seeing some players here today as part of the NFC who were connected, in particular, two who had connections to the Browns in at least in regard to pre-draft. And one was, of course, Robert Griffin III, and the Browns had made the attempt to want to trade with the St. Louis Rams so they could get that second pick and get him. A little surreal, I guess, seeing him out at the Browns practice facility but wearing Redskins shorts, because they're the ones that actually made the trade for him. As I look at it now, yeah, that happened, but I think there's got to be so much satisfaction here with how well Brandon Whedon has looked through these workouts, that although it would have been a nice thing to have that guy, he's certainly the most hyped and publicized guy, right up there, of course, with Andrew Luck coming out of the draft. But the sting of that deal not happening and seeing what the Browns ended up with, I think at the end of it all is still a happy story for the Browns.
Well, not only do they have Brandon Whedon, they have their first-round draft pick next year and the year after, which I think, for Washington, it was probably the best thing they could do because of the salary cap, violations they had. They're going to be over the top for a couple years, and it'll get them squared away. But for the Browns, they added the running back that they needed. They got a quarterback that's got the arm. They added some, big bodies in the offensive line and the defensive line. And, you know, I think the team has, you know, continued, you know, through Tom Heckard to get, you know, younger and faster and more athletic, because this team, you know, for a while there had, you know, gotten a little old because we went for seasoned veterans and, right. you know, was let's see if we can get some guys that have been around the block and go win some games with them. But, you know, I think there comes a point in time where you have to build it together and, you know, you build it through the draft, and that's what Tom Heckard's philosophy is, and that's what he's done.
Doug Deacon, color analyst for the Browns Radio Network, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The other guy ran into is Matt Khalil from the Vikings. And, of course, he originally was going to be taken by the Vikings at the third spot. The Browns make the deal with Minnesota to move up from 4 to 3 to make sure they're going to get Trent Richardson at 3. And then they take Khalil at number 4. So a little tie-in there. And when I see Matt Khalil out on the field, I see a guy certainly who looks like the athlete everyone said he was. But once again, I think of the Browns and I think of that right tackle spot, the spot they wanted to fill. And as well as, again, without contact, he looked through this offseason. Mitchell Schwartz figures to be the answer there, and I'm not so sure, again, that the Browns should be whining about that one.
No, and I think, you know, the thing is when you invest, you know, that you'd have 3 first-round draft picks in your offensive line, and in the salary cap era of the NFL, that's pretty tough to do. I think, you know, you've got to find a gem, you got to uncover somebody, you got to develop somebody, because you can't just load up all your top draft picks in one position. And, you know, if, yeah, our offensive linemen obviously are valuable, but, you know, I think if any position, you know, the left tackle is the one you want, and
sure.
I wouldn't trade ours.
No, not one bit, not one bit. Joe Thomas is the anchor there for many, many more years to come. Doug, the other thing with the offense is looking at how it's coming together with the passing game mixed in with how you utilize Trent Richardson. And talking with Mark Barron today, he's from, of course, he's playing for the Buccaneers, but played with Richardson at Alabama. He said, you know, Browns fans, again, are not going to be disappointed. They're going to see everything that he saw from this guy at the collegiate level, a very complete player, a very dynamic player. But the more I look at Trent Richardson and the keys to what will make the Browns offense successful, I still say it's going to start with the contribution that Whedon makes at quarterback and then the balance that you get with Richardson. I don't see it. Some people, I think, have talked about it and said Richardson's the whole key because – he'll carry the offense. I don't envision that happening. I don't think he's carrying this offense.
No, he's not going to carry it, but he's going to keep the defenses honest. And, you know, last year, Pat Shurmur, he just had unbelievable scenario of soap operas where, you know, you didn't know whether or not the guy was going to play. You thought he was going to play, then he got hurt. Or you thought he couldn't play, then at the last minute he decided he could play. And, you know, reliability and dependability is a big, you know, part of this game that I think a lot of people overlook. And, you know, we talked about Joe Thomas. Joe has never missed a game, you know, knock
right.
on wood.
Right.
You know, that's one of those things. You know every week when you go in, you've got that guy. And, you know, that's something that I think, you know, the offense really missed last year is, you know, you're bringing Obanaya in.
Right.
He gets about a week's worth of practice, and next thing you know, he's starting. And, you know, with a Richardson, you know what you're going to have. And I think, you know, he's really going to keep a defense honest in regards to, you know, bringing those safeties up because, you know, you got to respect him. You know, he hasn't done it at this level yet, but, you know, if what he did in college is any indication, you know, he should be pretty good. I mean, you look at the Ray Rices that kind of hide behind guys and squirt out.
Right.
And I think Trent Richardson is that kind of guy.
Do you see these next 4 weeks or so as really being a period where nothing would happen with regard to the quarterback position? And I'm talking about the speculation or expectation that maybe this team does something with Colt McCoy, moves him or something. Seneca Wallace is here as well, just to sort of really define where this quarterback position is, because we go into it with the mindset that Whedon's going to be the starter, but you do have now maybe some other situations to deal with. My sense is it stays quiet until you get into camps and a camp and the other camps that open up around the league and figure out who needs someone and then maybe do something then. What's your thought?
I would agree. I think, you know, you go in with an open mind with the idea that, you know, you want you want a good second quarterback, and you know you fight out for that. Along the line, you know, some team is going to have an injury, and when you know they have an injury, they become vulnerable to, you know, looking for somebody. And you've got a guy that's got some starts in the NFL, not only him, Seneca Wallace. So right. You know, which one does the team want to plug in? And you know, Thaddeus Lewis, we have never seen him really play, but you know, he's got a good arm. He's a smart kid. So, you know, he's got that potential to be a developmental quarterback. So they've got a good scenario in that regards, as long as they don't let it get in the way of, you know, people asking every question, oh, what do you think of Brandon? What do you think of Colt? Just let them go play football and, yeah. You know, let it sort itself out.
And that's the thing. And I would think, Doug, those questions come up only when there's questions about what you're seeing on the field. If it continues to be what we saw with Brandon Weeden throwing that ball with authority and accurately, I don't think those questions get raised.
No, and
or as often. I mean,
no, and you know, the thing is, you know, it's one of the things with the media today. You know, if they always look for those kind of things, and they build, and, you know, you look at the questions. I think just in minicamp, you know, how many reps is Hardesty going to get in training camp? I mean, that's nothing in minicamp. You don't even care. I mean, right. It'll sort itself out. You know, you're trying to create stories. Just let the players tell the story by the way they play.
That's great stuff. Doug, thank you so much, man. All right. He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.